On this cold Saturday, I would like to welcome you to Exposé 247, where I believe the Word of God will warm your heart. If you will take your time to chew on the pages of the Word of God, you will find it as a comfort food, and you'll be sharing the same experience with Jeremiah, who said in Jeremiah 15 verse 16 that, "Your word I have found, and I did eat them, and they were refreshing, joy and refreshing to my soul." So today, we gladly welcome you to the table of the Lord for refreshment. We've been on the Prodigal Father series for a while, and we've been wrapping the lessons in it. We're in the bus of the elder son.
Yeah.
And for the past 2 weeks, we've been looking at that box, trying to see. We looked about the background history. We tried to see his attributes. And the sober moment for me last week was just realizing that this son was living for what is rightfully his. And that gave me some moment to think and reflect and try to picture my life and my work with the Lord in the light of that revelation. That are there places in my life, are there instances in my life where I'm still slaving for what His divine power has rightly given me? So I would like to ask, what is your own big moment in last week's episode?
Now, viewers, last episode, there was something that we did look at that is very important for everyone to think about. In verse 29 and verse 31, there seemed to be a bit of a dead hand between the father and the elder son in terms of communication. The younger son told the father, he said, "I've done all this while, I've slaved out for you, I've never broken your instructions, and you have never given me." And the father responded in verse 31. The father said, "All things I have is yours." And last episode, we were trying to figure out, why is there a problem between the communication between the father and the son? The son told the father, "You have not given me." And you see, for most of us who believe in the power of prayer, in the efficacy of petition, of requesting things from God, if you are in that situation, if you believe in praying, you want to listen to what we are going to talk about today on Exposé. Because it sounds to me that the prayers of so many Christians, the prayer points of so many Christians, has always been that we approach the Father to saying, "Father, you have not given me this, you have not given me that." Even when we pray, even though there are times we don't use the word, "You have not given me this," but the tone, the sound, the approach of our prayers to God is more of accusation, suggesting to the Father that the reason my life is the way it is at the moment is because you have not given me this thing I need for my life. And you see, if you have been in that situation, or if you've been in situations where you believe you've prayed prayers that have been unanswered, you want to listen to what we have to discuss today on Exposé. Now, if you look at it, the younger son, the elder son told the father, "You have not given me." And see, when the elder son told the father in Luke 15:29, he said, you've not even given me a young goat to celebrate with my friends. Now, I want to listen to what the father has to say to him in response to that. Now, and like I said, everybody should be interested in the father's response to the elder son. But look at what the father said. The father said, "All I have is yours," in Luke 15, verse 31. That's a very amazing response. The father said, "All I have is yours." Now listen, the foundation, the basis, the platform for you to understand how God gives is to first to come to God on the basis that he said in verse 31 that all I have is yours. Now, what does that mean? It means that before we start going on petitioning God, before we start going on praying and requesting anything from God, we have to approach God on this foundation. The Father must be approached on this foundation that all he has is not that it will be ours if we pray long enough or over time it will belong to us. No. The father told the elder son in verse 31 of Luke 15, "All I have is yours." Now listen to this. If you are born again, if you have been born of the Spirit, if you are a child of God, you need to understand there's a language the Bible used for us. In the book of Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 15, there's a language there. The Bible says that we are adopted. It said in Galatians 4, 6, it said, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. What does that mean? Now, I have seen people and I've known people who have given birth by, in quote, by mistake. What I mean by mistake is to say that you can give birth to a child without much financial, without much psychological preparation, without much physical preparation.
You can have the knowledge that they're ready, the baby is...
Even some people actually have, you know, they become pregnant until the third or fourth month before they knew they were pregnant. So people have children. There are times they have children without much preparation. But I've never heard about a situation where somebody adopted in error. When people adopt children, they go through a legal process up to the point that the government have to come to your house to check whether you have everything in place. I mean, or the adoption board, they have to come to check that your house is in place, the rooms, everything is all set for this incoming adopted child. Adoption is not by error. People adopt by the time they've actually put everything in place. Now, the Bible uses the language of adoption for you. It says you have received the spirit of adoption. It means before you ever came into Christ, everything was set. Everything was ready. That's why Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. It means when you come into the kingdom, there is nothing like God saying, oh, you know what? God scratching his head and God saying, oh, I forgot that you will need this, or I forgot you will need that, because you have been adopted. The spirit we have is the spirit of adoption. It means before we ever came into Christ, everything was set. Everything was ready. Now, that's the revelation we need to have anytime we approach the Father. And this is the system that God has used all the time, even if you go all the way back to Adam in creation. Have you noticed that God did not create Adam? Adam was not formed until everything was set. That is why the Bible made us understand that when Adam was created, God told Adam, God said, I have given you all the herb-bearing seed as food. It means before Adam showed up on the scene, everything was set. And that's why Adam was formed on the sixth day. Because from the day one to day five, God took time to set everything in place. It was on the last day before God entered into rest that he made man. Now, that is a parable for humanity to understand that God did not bring man into existence until he put everything in place. Even when there was a need for a woman, for Eve, when God found no helpmeet for Adam, have you noticed that God pulled the woman out of the man? It means everything was set even in Adam. Now, it's the same way God deals with us in Christ. It is the spirit of adoption that we have received. Everything we need for life and godliness has been provided. So anytime we approach the Father, we need to approach with the revelation that everything that we need has been provided. And now, if you wonder, if the Father would tell the elder son, you see, because when I see the Father responding to the elder son, I wanted him to give the elder son a reason why he has been in the house and he has never had access to a young goat. Because that was a complaint of the elder son. He's saying, I've been in the house. We don't know how old the elder son is. We don't know if it could be 25 years or it could be 30 years or 35 years. I don't know how old the elder son is. But we don't know how long he has been stuck in not getting a young goat. But the father is saying to the elder son, the reason you've had no access to a young goat, the reason nothing has been given to you in your own accusation is because you don't understand that all things are yours. And I think this revelation has not really sunk down into the recess of the mentality of so many Christians. Now, that's why the father said the reason you're stuck, the reason you keep complaining that you have no young goat is because you still don't get this into your understanding. You're still not getting this revelation. You're not getting this ideology that everything that I have is yours. And I think if Christians can spend their time, can spend their energy in understanding all the things that we have in Christ Jesus. That is the platform. That is the foundation of being able to receive anything. Now, I think it's very possible that some people actually, they do know these things that we have in Christ Jesus. They know the things that God has freely given to us. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, it said, we have received not the Spirit which is of the world. We have received the Spirit which is of the Father, that we might know
the things
that God has freely given us. Some Christians do know, but they're still not laying hold upon it. But if you don't know in the first place, you cannot lay hold upon what you don't know. Now, I want us to think about this. Have you never wondered that if the elder son has been in the house for this so many years, how come the father is not having mercy upon the elder son to force the young goat on his head? To put a young goat on his head. Now, in the kingdom of God, there are principles. There are concepts in the kingdom. And God will not violate kingdom principles. The Bible says in Psalm 138, he said, God has exalted his word far above his name. It means that God himself is subject to his word. And the earlier we understand how the word of God works, the more we can gain access to the depths of the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. The father will not throw or force the young goat down the throat of the elder son. What the father we want everyone to know is that we must approach God on the platform of understanding that all things are what?
Ours.
Now, the reason why we might be stuck on so many things, the reason why we keep complaining that God has not given us, could be this. Now, if you notice, there's something that comes to my understanding as we are talking. I mean, you see Christians praying about revival. Christians praying about God move, God do something, God do that. Now, you see, most of these prayers that we pray, the hidden fact behind those prayers is a bit accusational. Because we are simply saying, the reason things are the way they are in our current generation, or the reason our nation is the way our nation is, or the reason that the land is because God has not given us. God has not done what he should do. The Father has not done his part, and that's why we are the way we are. And we start on accusing God and say, the reason why things are the way they are is because God has not done his part. And that is far from the truth. That is not the truth of the scriptures. You see, talking about the issue of God moving in the land, the story that comes to mind is Acts chapter 3. Look at Acts chapter 3. The story of Peter and John at the gate of Beautiful. Okay. Now, viewers, we don't know how long this lame man had been at the gate of Beautiful. Acts 3 says to us that they always bring this man to the gate of Beautiful every day. Daily, they bring this man to the gate. Now, every day he was there, he was lame, and they put him there in hope that somebody will give him something. Now, Peter and John, the Bible says they went into the temple on this particular day as their custom was. Now, we don't know how long Peter and John have been going to the temple, but nothing happened to this man. And Peter and John, they have been going into the temple. We don't know how long, but the Bible says that was their custom. But you know what is amazing? Nothing happened to the lame man. Not because God had not done everything he needs to do in Christ for this lame man to walk again. Because the Bible tells us that by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. Now, before I continue this story, do you know why it's a bit amazing for us as Christians in our current generation that we are supposed to look back on what Christ did? But in the time of Jesus, in fact, most of the healings that happened in the time of Jesus, people had to look forward to the stripes of Jesus. Look at that woman. That Syrophoenician woman. But when that woman claimed healing for her daughter, Matthew 15, I think verse 29, when that woman claimed healing for her daughter who was vexed with the devil, the reason why Jesus said he had never found such a great faith in what? In Israel, was simply because that woman looked into the future of what Christ would do, of the stripes of Jesus, and she brought it from the future into the present. That's what Jesus Christ said. That's why Jesus called her a dog, because it was not time for the Gentiles to lay hold on the benefit of Christ. Because God had a plan that the Gentiles would come into that same benefit. By the time this woman laid hold upon that benefit, it was not time for the Gentiles to come. Now, Jesus said it's such a great faith because a woman can look into the future and bring it all the way back into the present. But look at our generation. We are in a different situation. We are looking back to what Christ did. That's why 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes you were, past tense. Which one is easier? Which one is harder? Is it to look back to what had happened or look into the future? Now, listen. When Peter and John approached that lame man at the gate of Beautiful, what happened? Everything had been the way it was until the day that Peter and John said, we don't even have our money here. We don't even have any silver here. There is no gold here. But what we have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. I said, we give unto you that which we have. Think about it. It was the very time, the very season, that Peter and John recognized and said, sorry, we have something. There is something we have here. We have Christ here. There's something we have here. We have something. See, the confidence of knowing what we have, of knowing that all things are ours. So Peter and John said, that which we have, we give unto you. This is not about boasting. This is not about pride. You need to know what you have. The very foundation of laying hold upon what is yours in Christ is to know what it is in the first place. If you don't know what you have in the kingdom, you will keep accusing the Father that you have not given me. You need to know.
Philemon 1 says.
Now that's it. Acknowledging every good thing you have in Christ Jesus. If you are in a church gathering, if you are among people or brethren where you don't share or understand the things that are yours in Christ, you are mortgaging your ability to be able to lay hold upon everything you have in Christ Jesus. Listen, in verse 29, the reason why the elder son was stuck in Luke 15:29, for many years he had no access
to
lay hold upon a young goat. And the father said the reason why he was stuck was because he didn't even understand that all things belonged to him. That's what it says in verse 31. The father said, and the reason why so many Christians are stuck in being able to actually execute the divine call upon our lives, the reason why we have so much inadequacy, the reason why we have a sense of lack, the reason why we have a sense of limitation, is simply because we do not have deep-seated revelations of the things that God has given us, the implication of the life, the implication of the death, the implication of the resurrection of Christ Jesus. What do these things mean for a Christian? The Bible says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. What is the weight of the glory of Christ that we have in us? In Ephesians 1:17, it says the power that works in us is the same, not something a bit below. It's the same power that raised up Christ from the dead. How much of this understanding do we have? How much of this revelation do we have? How much of this perception do we have? If we don't know these things, if we don't understand these things, we will be stuck like the elder son and we'll keep accusing the Father in the place of prayer and we'll keep claiming we don't have because you've not given us. And this is what the Father was saying to the elder son. Now, there's something we need to clarify, which is very, very important. It doesn't matter how long you're going to pray. It doesn't matter how far you keep praying. You can pray from now till kingdom come. You can pray from now till eternity. It doesn't matter. You see, you can be like the elder son who kept on complaining to the father that the reason I don't have access to a young goat is because you never gave me. You can complain for as long as you want to complain. The father has only one answer for you. The father has only one response for you. The father will tell you, all things
are yours.
Pray like that. Talk like that. Think like that. Reason like that. Talk to me as a father like that. Talk to me as someone that knows all things are yours. Reason like that. This is what the father will respond to, will reply to you. It doesn't matter how long you pray, the father has only one response. Because, you see, I was waiting for the father to give a good response, to give a very logical response. And the only response the father has to give to the elder son is to say, you don't know that all things are yours. And see, there's one thing I want us to think about. Even when you gave your life to Jesus, when you became born again, if you are a child of God, don't you understand that the day you gave your life to Jesus, you could have given your life to Jesus much more earlier than that? Or do we think the reason why you gave your life to Christ when you were 19 years old or 25 years old was because God was waiting to say, well, I'll wait until he gets to 25 years so that he can give my life, he can give his life to me. That's not true. Titus 2:11 tells us that the grace of God that brings salvation
has appeared to all men. Mm-hmm.
It means the grace of God that brought you salvation, the grace of God that brought me salvation, has appeared to all men. Now, the reason why some people are not saved today is not because the grace has not appeared. The reason why a lot of people are not saved is because they've not even heard. They don't even know that there's something available. I know some people have heard and they have rejected it. But there are still people who have not even heard about such a grace. People who have not even known such a grace existed. And as far as they don't know about it, they cannot receive it. And if they cannot receive it, it means to those people, it's as good as Christ not dying and resurrecting. It's the same way that applies to you as a Christian if you want to receive anything from God. What you don't know, you cannot lay hold on it in Christ Jesus. That is why in 1 Corinthians 9, there's a particular verse there where he states about the fact that he said you have excelled in revelation. You've excelled in faith and in utterance. But he says, see to it that you excel in this grace also. It means what we don't know. See, Paul met some Christians in Acts. I think Acts 19, he met them. These Christians, they were born again under John the Baptist. Under the teaching of John the Baptist. And they've not, up to that time, before Paul met them, received the Holy Spirit baptism. And the Apostle Paul asked them. The Apostle Paul said, ever since you believed, have you received the Holy Ghost? You know what they told Paul? They said, we've not even heard about the Holy Ghost. We didn't even know that there's something beyond John's baptism. Now, if they've not even heard about the Holy Ghost, if they've not heard about something beyond John's baptism,
how would they?
Do you know that was the reason they never had the baptism? Because they've not heard about it. Now, I'm not sure if we can understand the implication of that statement. To say that some people were stuck, they couldn't receive the Holy Ghost baptism because they've not even heard about the Holy Ghost. Now, the same thing applies to us. For every benefit of the cross of Christ Jesus, every benefit of redemption in Christ Jesus, if you've not heard, if you don't know, you cannot
receive
it. You cannot benefit from it. So, the elder son was being told by the father, the reason why you have no young goat is simply because you don't even understand the revelation of the fact that everything I have is yours. What we don't know, we cannot lay hold on. What we don't know, we cannot receive. So I think if in our Christian life we spend more time, we dissipate more energy of our Bible devotion, of our exhortation to begin to decode, to begin to break down the implication of the life of Christ that we have in our spirit, the implication of the death of Jesus, the implication of the resurrection of Christ, the implication of Christ in us, the hope of glory. If we begin to spend more time to understand these things, there will be a great revolution. Now, for some of the prayers we're praying for God to do that, praying for God to do this. In most of these things, God is the one waiting on us. Now, before we round up, you see, back to my story of Acts 3, of Peter.
Okay.
Have you noticed that Peter and John were not praying for revival? When Peter and John told that man by the gate of Beautiful, and they said, that which we have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. When they rose up and they begin to work, and when the man rose up and the man began to work, they had all the revival they needed. In fact, so many people came to the portico, and there was so much revival. And the same thing applies to us as well. You see, most of the prayers we're praying today, accusing God and saying, God, you know, the reason why we are like this, because you've not given us. If we will stand up to know what we have,
acknowledge.
If we acknowledge what we have, our faith will become effectual. That's why Philemon, it says, I pray that your communication of your faith might become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that you have in Christ Jesus. If we start to acknowledge every good thing we have in Christ Jesus, if we say things like, I am no more under law, but under grace, therefore sin shall have no dominion over me. If we say things like, all things I need for life and godliness, God has given to me. If we say things like, my God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If we say things like, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. If we say things like we are blessed with all spiritual blessings, if we say things like, you know, when we begin to say these things, when we begin to accumulate these things, the Bible says our faith will become effectual. We'll begin to express these things.
For emphasis' sake, I would like to bring out those two things that you said. The story of the supernatural woman, the one that was able to reach out forth into the future to bring healing.
Bring it back into the present.
Into the present. And why we don't even need to do that as much as it.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of the Psalm, the David, in Psalm 103, was laying out of all those benefits beyond salvation. Some are only stuck, only receive salvation, the benefits of divine health. And there was the renewal of this, the flesh. He was filling all his mouth with good things. Those are the benefits. Somebody is reaching forth. Even when Jesus was not yet.
Jesus, even the stripes, even though the Bible did say that Jesus, he was actually crucified from the foundation of the earth. But we need to understand one thing. Even in Matthew 8:16-17, the Bible says they brought unto him those who were under the power of devils, and with his word he cast out the spirit, and he brought healing to all that were sick, so that he might fulfill that which was spoken by the mouth of Isaiah the prophet, that surely he has taken our infirmities and he has carried our diseases. Now in Matthew 8:16, Jesus had not yet been beaten with stripes.
Yes.
Jesus had not yet gotten to the cross. But see, right from that time, in Matthew 8:16-17, the Bible said the reason why Jesus healed man was because by his stripes we are healed. So if people in the Gospels could look forward to what Jesus would do on the cross, if they could look forward to the stripes in the future, even Christ had not been beaten with stripes, they could look forward into what Jesus would do on the cross. What about we that we are looking backward to what Christ did on the cross? We are even looking backwards. They looked forward and they got it. Look at what David said. David said in Psalm 103, he said, "Bless the Lord, my soul, and don't forget his benefits, who heals your diseases, who forgives your sins." And even David had to look into the future. But see, how is it hard for us as Christians to look back into what Christ did? And like we said before, 1 Peter 2:24 says, you see, he didn't say by his stripes we are healed. He says by his stripes you were healed. Because the Bible is telling us to look back into what Christ did and lay hold upon life eternal. And you see, this would take us from this elder son mentality where we keep saying, "You have not given me." And we would change our tone and simply say, "Father, thank you that all things that you have is mine. And I'm going to express all of those things." And that's why the Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ. We are co-heirs with Christ. And this is the understanding we need to have. And it's going to revolutionize everything about us if we come to the Father in this understanding.
I can boldly say from today, our audience will not be saying, nobody today who has had those will be saying, "You have not given me anymore."
It's wrong to say you've not given me.
We all will be saying that we have been given
all things that has to do with
all
life.
All
things that has to do with life and godliness. The Father has given it to us.
So thank you for joining us today. And we want to say a special welcome to those people who joined us today and the new set of people who joined us last week. We want to say, if you've been blessed by it, we want to say there is more to where those ones came from. So you can sit back and listen to our previous episode. So tomorrow, same time, we'll be continuing this in this series. And a little consolation from the story of the elder son is like, he already knew, he doesn't have a problem that the Father does not even have. He doesn't have the thing. You know, some don't even know that the Father owns things. He will just say, "You have, but you have not given me." You know, some people have a deeper problem, deeper issue than the elder brother. So you don't even know that the Father owns things.
But you see, there's one thing that is quite interesting in that story. How come the Father was telling his elder son what was obvious to the elder son? You see,
I don't think we can continue on this. I think we have to leave that. We leave that this part tomorrow. So we'll be expecting your comment, and we'll be expecting you to join us same time tomorrow. So to tomorrow, please stay in the knowledge that all things are yours.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So
thank you. Bye.